Moncrief on News Talk.
I'm very happy to welcome Conor Pope to studio because we're talking about the price that you pay for convenience and whether paying a fee to have your groceries delivered or reserving a hotel on booking.com instead of calling the hotel directly, that kind of thing. Are you paying a cost for your convenience? That's really the point here, Conor.
That's right. But it's actually, I sometimes wonder, is it convenience or laziness? Because we are paying a price for convenience, but a lot of the time it's not even that convenient. It's just that we as consumers, and I include myself in this, are just too lazy and we couldn't be bothered doing the extra thing, even though we know that doing that extra thing will save us money. And I'm not even talking about saving a few bob. Sometimes we can do things that will save us hundreds of euro a year, but we just go, oh no, I'll get round to that. I'll do it later. And it's both a combination of convenience, like you talk about online food deliveries or booking.com or the likes, or it's just like we're just lazy.
We're very busy people though.
We like to tell ourselves that we're really, really busy people, but still we can plow our way through a lot of box sets on Netflix or Disney or whatever it might be. And if we were to just allocate like 4 hours once a year right. to do all of this life admin.
Time management, that's the issue here really, is it?
Again, you're making all the excuses that I make in my own head all the time, going, oh no, I'm just far too busy to get around to all this stuff. But if you talk about the convenience thing first, I mean, I suppose one of the areas that you really see it, and I'm guilty of this in a big way myself, is the likes of Uber Eats or Deliveroo.
Yeah.
Because those platforms are designed to make it easier for us to do things like order food. And even though we know we're paying a premium for that, we still do it because you can go on to Deliveroo and you go, what do you fancy tonight? Oh, well, I don't know. What do you think? And there's like, they present you with a dizzying array of options and there are places that you'd never even consider getting takeaway from. But like suddenly it's like, chapter one, takeaway? Why not?
Yeah,
obviously,
well,
chapter one, don't do takeaway. I'd like to make your list.
They did.
But it's that kind of thing. So you go, oh yeah. So You order your food, the food comes, and you pay for it, and you pay a premium for that. You could just as handily look up the number of the restaurant online, and you could order directly from the restaurant, and you might have to go down to them and pick it up, or they might have a delivery service, but you would be both giving the restaurant more money, you'd be saving yourself a few bob, but again, it's not convenient.
Is that not a bit of a generational thing, just on the Deliveroo thing? Because I have to admit, I wouldn't really order much Deliveroo very much, but my children... For them, that's like an event. It's like this social thing for them. Friends come over, we'll get Deliveroo. It's all part of the...
Well, I wonder, is that because you have kind of, you have a couple of takeaways that you like?
Yeah.
And you rely on those takeaways. And if you're that kind of person, and lots of people are, well, then you'll just call your local Indian or you'll call your local pizza place or whatever it might be, and they'll get the food to you. But a lot of the time, but the whole conceit behind the likes of Deliveroo is there's the whole world of dining is suddenly open to you, and it can be Wow Burger one day, or it can be, you know, some Lebanese food the next, and it's just, and maybe that is a generational thing.
It's a spice box. I'll just so you know, and not only is it a spice box, it's a spice box the size of Mars.
Yeah. You see. That's very old school way of doing it, because when I was in my 20s, like, there was no point in ordering a small meal as a takeaway meal.
Yeah.
Because like you'd have it eaten in 7 or 8 minutes. You had to order the massive 28-inch pizza that you'd be struggling through for hours, because that's the only way you're getting value for money.
Well, that, as you say that now, you remind me of watching American sitcoms and stuff in the 70s and 80s. When takeout food didn't exist, Charlotte, you'd see them. And it would just be a really small detail in something. But you'd be going, oh, Chinese takeout.
Yeah.
That looks amazing. Yeah, where did they get that from?
Sometimes, just by this is aside from anything else, when I want to frighten my children, I tell them about when I was growing up and we only had one and sometimes two channels. There was no remote control. And I remember I was telling my kids this and they were like, but how did you pause the television when you wanted to go to the toilet? I was like, I practically slapped them. How did I pause the television?
You have to walk to the television.
There was no pausing.
To change the channel.
If you didn't see it live, you didn't see it.
I remember the day pausing came in on Sky Sports. And I did.
Life changing.
And there was just this moment where there was a friend in the room and he thought I'd actually paused a football match. Somewhere in Manchester, people had down tools because I needed to go to the toilet.
I hope you, play that up,
Brendan. You know who you are. So, moving on.
Yeah,
moving on to them. supermarket deliveries, has that ever really taken off?
Do you know what? That's one of the really interesting things about our consuming world, because if you talk about how we buy online and how we shop online, an awful lot of people are really happy to shop online when it comes to clothes, when it comes to tech. We buy secondhand on the likes of Vinted. We shop on Dundeal. Supermarket shopping has grown, but it's grown really slowly compared to other retail spaces. Now, in during COVID, when everyone was suddenly terrified to go to the supermarkets because, you know, death was lurking on every aisle, online shopping in supermarkets really soared, and you had to book your slots, and it was like really kind of a much sought after thing. But then after COVID, people liked going back into the shops, and I think there's a couple of reasons for that. One is, I think, as maybe as Irish people, we instinctively don't trust the pickers in Tesco's, Dunnes,
they don't
Super
Value. No.
They're just going to pick the rubbish vegetables, and they're not going to rummage around to the very bottom or back of the dairy counter or the dairy aisle to get the milk that's best before September
and
the 17th.
The soft slice pans. So make sure they're soft.
And they don't check out the bread or all of that stuff. So we like that tactile element of supermarket shopping. And also, and like, there's a societal thing about it as well. People actively like doing the big shop. And I like going into my local Lidl or Aldi and walking up and down, and I know I'm kind of waiting for the middle aisle bit, going, I wonder what treats they'll have for me this week. And it'll be some nonsense that I really do not need. Like, do I need a blowtorch or a jackhammer? No, but I will definitely consider buying it.
It's an experience though, isn't it? Again, to hark back to the Deliveroo and your kids, you're heading off to a bit of me time in the supermarket.
Exactly.
Of, wandering from aisle to aisle.
Yeah, and if you're lucky, your child still fits into the trolley, into the little seat.
Yeah.
And then they're stuck.
And an ideal world hasn't come with you. Better still.
But, and that's the funny thing is, when you shop online, you pay for the delivery. So you're paying for the convenience of that. But arguably, by shopping online, you save money because you're not being tempted and by all these little incidental purchases.
You need to be tempted.
So you just go, here's my shopping list, hit pay, you're done and dusted.
Yeah.
And then a day or two later, a guy arrives.
That's soulless to me. That's just soulless. Get out into the supermarket. Live a little. Holidays.
Yeah. Now, holidays are an interesting thing because we've kind of gone full circle. There was a time when we all paid for convenience, and that was back in the day when the only way you could get to Malaga or Magaluf was by booking with a travel agent. So we'd all go into travel agents and you'd say, I'd like to go on my holidays. And you'd hear this click-clack on the keyboard as they seem to type for an eternity. And then they say, I have this little resort for you. And you'd pay for that convenience because that's what they were doing for you. But then the era of the DIY holiday came along, and we were all booking holidays ourselves, and we were contacting hotels directly. And then the likes of Booking.com and Expedia and TripAdvisor all made the booking process centralized, and they made it easier for people. And again, you pay a premium for that. So you can go on to Booking.com and you can say Lanzarote in November, and you can key it in, and it'll bring you out 20 hotels, pictures and all the rest, and reviews. And you can say, I'll go here, I'll pick those. Or you could do the legwork yourself, and you could say, OK, well, I want to go to Lanzarote. Here's the top five hotels that I want to stay in. I'm going to contact them all directly. And I guarantee that 9 times out of 10, by booking directly with these kinds of hotels, you will save yourself money. But people don't tend to do it because it's not convenient.
Would they feel slightly that they're kind of doing the website down a bit? They've let the website do all the hard work, tell you the top three hotels, and then you just click the website out, you read the hotel directly.
I'll be honest, Tom, I don't care about the algorithms that some giant multinational is running.
Yes.
Like, if I'm hurting their feelings, I can live with that.
We ring.
But having said that, I do use the likes of Booking.com because there is that whole thing about, well, it's easy.
Yeah.
And if something is easy, and if we take the path of least resistance, well, then we will sometimes pay for it.
Yeah. Anytime you get one over on the system, I think that's a good thing to do.
100%. And do you know what? We talk about this, and one of the things that I was talking about was the kind of the conflation of easy versus lazy. And sometimes it's really convenient to stay with your own gas provider or your own electricity provider. And that's the thing that really kills me, because we're absolutely being fleeced by the energy companies, because they know that more than 70% of Irish consumers never switch. So that means the ones that never switch, they stay on the standard unit rate, which is typically 5, 10, 15, 20, sometimes even 30% more than the discounted rates. So it's convenient for us to just stay put. But if we were to move from company A to company B once a year, you'd probably knock £500 a year off your annual energy bills, which is not too shabby. And then you could waste that money by shopping on Deliveroo or
going
booking
to the
your holidays on booking.com,
buying things in the middle aisle.
And you know, and the thing, and one of the things that always gets me about that, and that's the one thing I do quite well, is whatever about swapping, you know, your branded cornflakes for your own brand cornflakes, yeah, or your branded cola drink for your own brand cola drink. Like, you can, there's a clear distinction between the two. One is lovely, one is disgusting. We all know that. There's no difference in the quality of the electricity. I've never in my life heard someone saying, you know, the electricity from Electric Ireland is great, but the electricity from Bord Gáis, it's terrible. And again, another way, another place where we always choose convenience is mobile phones, right? Now, the way mobile phone companies operate, right, they have this system whereby they'll offer you a free, now your listeners can't see this, but I'm doing air quotes in an extravagant way.
He is.
They're offering a free phone to you if you go in every 2 years and renew your contract. The phone is never free. The cost of the phone is built into your 2 year contract. So by far the most economical thing that we could all do is buy a phone outright and then go on a SIM only plan and pay 15 quid a month or 10 quid a month for a SIM only plan, own the handset ourselves, and we'd be, within about 14 or 15 months, we'd be practically making money on our mobile phones. But people don't do that because it's not convenient.
You know, I was talking about, we're busy people.
We are.
A lot of what's making you busy is that once a year you have to go and decide, am I going to change my electrical provider?
Exactly.
Now, once a year, am I going to change my gas provider? Am I going to change my phone, my mobile service, my broadband?
Yeah.
And it's not that easy. You know, there's a bit of...
Some of them are hard. I'll give you that. Like changing your... Like changing your broadband, it's a bit like, you know, that there's an episode of Friends when I think Ross wants to leave a gym or Chandler wants to leave a gym and they just find it impossible to leave the gym. It's a bit like that with your broadband. Like, they're practically on bended knee going, please, Tom, don't go. Like, give us one more chance. But like, when it comes to switching gas and electricity, you just go on to switcher.ie or bonkers.ie, key in a few details and bang, it's all done for you in 15 minutes.
But you have to do it once a year.
Here's what I would suggest that people do, because it is a chore. Like, don't get me wrong. Like it's a pain to have to, oh God, I have to do this. So if you were to say to yourself, I'm going to set aside one day a year and it's going to be my admin day.
I'd say more than one day a year, Connor.
Well, you see, if you put it all into one day, right, and you're going to really focus on my health insurance, my car insurance, my broadband, my mobile phone, my electricity, my gas, and that's it, right? And say, I'm going to devote one day to all of those things. And if someone said to you, by doing that, you could save yourself a grand. There aren't many people who turn down a day's work for €1,000. So the idea is to try and build it into your life and make it something that's rewarding for you as opposed to something that's a pain.
Yeah. I do it a lot now and I have to say I'm getting better at it.
Yeah.
And some of the stuff I've managed to do, you mentioned the SIM only thing.
Yeah.
I got that fantastically.
And you do start to see the returns. And of course, the thing is, when you buy your handset, you then stop being enthralled to the companies and you're not so easily swayed into buying the new handset. Like, we are being constantly conned by Apple and Samsung and all of these companies. I was like, oh, the new phone, it can take pictures even better than the old phone. I don't care. My eyesight isn't that good. I can't see the pictures better than my old phone. But yet we want to constantly upgrade to the new thing, the new thing, the new thing. If you buy the handset yourself, you not only will you get a, will you be saving money after month 14 because you'll be on SIM only, you'll probably keep the handset for 3, 4, 5 years.
Nothing wrong with 3 years.
And it'll be absolutely fine.
More.
All I need for my mobile phone is, sometimes I make calls. I mean, not often, obviously, because who makes calls?
What are they?
I need to read the news, I need to play my fantasy football, and I need to follow sport. And message my wife, and that's it. And try and get my children to message me, but also
ask you about health insurance, but we have some other questions as well. Can you ask Connor if it's possible for a website or a shop to charge your credit card at a later date after they charge you for the purchase you actually made? How easy is it, and how can you protect against the department verifying transactions you made against the statement each month?
It would be very unusual for a company to just dip into your credit card and say, oh well, you've paid for that product, but we're going to come back and take more. Like, that's fraud.
Okay. So,
and not only is it fraud, there would be a clear paper trail. There are circumstances when that does happen, particularly if you hire a car and you drop the car back and everything's hunky-dory. Yeah. And then 3 weeks later, they go, oh, look, there was a scratch in that car, and they'll take money from you. It does depend on the terms and conditions of whatever you bought. But generally speaking, you buy something, pay for it, and you take receipt of it. They can't be coming back looking for more money.
I'm worried that although all those things, I think I'm quite computer literate, you know, but older people, if they're reaching a point where it just rolls over, it's gone out of a deal, it's gone into, that's really hard for them
it
to get around, isn't it?
And actually,
unfair.
It is. And I think one of the things that companies do, and they do this because it's a conscious business decision, they make it really easy for you to sign up to the new thing.
Yeah.
But if you want to leave them, you'll have to call us.
Yes.
Or you'll have to jump through 15 different hoops and you have to spend 40 minutes on hold. And that's why the likes of Switchers and Bonkers are so good when it comes to electricity and gas. But they don't really exist for all the other things that you'd need to be switching for. Like, and you mentioned health insurance, and health insurance is one of those areas that
you do that on your own?
Yes, is the short answer. But I would always, I always steer people towards online as far as possible, because, you know, you don't have to talk to a human being, you don't have to wait on hold, blah, blah, blah. When it comes to health insurance, I would say you always want to talk to the companies, right?
Yeah.
Because if they want to push you online, right, they want to get you to make all the decisions online. And there is the health insurance authority that allows you to make comparisons and all that stuff. But when you go online and you make decisions, if you happen to make the wrong decision, it's your fault. Because it's all on your shoulders.
Yeah.
But if you're on the phone to somebody and you're saying, now, can you explain this to me? And can you explain that to me? And can you explain, do I have this thing covered and that thing covered? Then it's the responsibility rests entirely on them to explain it to you. And if they explain it wrong and there's a problem down the tracks, you have comeback. So I would always suggest that when it comes to health insurance, you talk to a human being over that. But even though it's more complicated than broadband or more complicated than cornflakes or electricity or all these things, it's still worth looking at your policy every single year, because the people who don't, the loyal customers with one company over all the other companies, are the ones who are paying the highest price. And that seems unfair to me.
And that can be a huge difference, can't it?
You're when you thousands leave it, of
thousands. I see a text in there saying, I literally changed my health insurance broadband for home and work, mobile phone and home insurance providers, saving $3,500.
I don't doubt it. I'll give you an example of my own mother-in-law, who was with one company and she was paying through the nose for her health insurance. And I managed to get her a different policy with a different company. And I'm no expert in this space.
Yeah.
She managed to save $2,500 on her health insurance. But as soon as she switched, her original company rang her back and said, we've got a policy here that'll match the price of the new company.
Yeah.
And you don't even have to switch. Same cover, $2,500. And all it took was a couple of phone calls and putting them under pressure. Because I think that's the key thing. We need to say to them, listen, we appreciate the convenience. We appreciate that sometimes things are a hassle, but we're going to do it anyway because we're going to save ourselves money.
There are companies who will help you with that. There are companies who will advise you.
There are, when it comes to something like health insurance, there are really good companies, like health insurance brokers, for instance.
Yeah.
And you can go into them. You talk to them. They typically don't charge you. They'll charge the health insurance companies.
Okay.
And like, there's a guy, and he's featured on the station a lot, Dermot Good. He's a really, really good guy. He knows his stuff when it comes to health insurance. And people like him are invaluable when it comes to making tricky decisions. But it mightn't always be inconvenient for you, and that's why sometimes it's worth getting somebody else to do a bit of homework for you. If you're an older person, maybe you've got a younger son or daughter or in-law who can help you out, and that could be worth an awful lot of money to you.
A lot of skills involved in all of that, it has to be said.
It's just practice, really, and it's just
that's it.
And
it's the
bloody
fear thing,
mindedness.
Isn't it? And you do it once, and you've done it,
and
it's the same electricity as you
exactly,
pointed out.
But it's also you need a hard neck. Sometimes, because like sometimes it's like playing poker with the broadband companies. They're going, oh no, we can't give you any deal. Oh, well, then I'm going to Sky, or then I'm going to Virgin, or whatever it might be. And if you hold the line, a lot of the time, as I say, they'll just fold, and you're good to go.
Yeah, it's fantastic. It's great. They're great.
And it's
victories,
so gratifying.
Aren't they? They are wonderful victories. Connor, always such a pleasure.
Thanks a lot, Tom.
Thanks very much indeed, Connor Pope, their consumer affairs correspondent with the Irish Times.
Moncrief weekdays at 2 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.